The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome again, greetings. And welcome back to day 4 of our exploration of the 5 precepts. The 4th precept is a commitment to refrain from harmful speech and to cultivate kind speech as a way to support our practice. And I would just note before proceeding on to some discussion of the precept in sort of in the actions of interaction with others in daily life, just that as I tried to point to in the guided meditation, that the voices we cultivate are the voice we cultivate to guide the meditation to the extent that it has a verbal presence and has words. That can be a voice that we are attentive to and bring into the world. A lot of times we'll notice that the voice that appears, it may have frustration, exasperation, judgment, as I noted. And we can soften around that so that even in the meditation, we're avoiding harsh speech, avoiding unskillful speech, avoiding speech that causes or deepens harm. So the 4th precept. Yeah. I think, as I observed at the very top of the hour, that speech is something that comes so automatically to us, and of course there's exceptions, but to most of us, speech comes very quickly and without a lot of thought. And I think perhaps the central injunction here in the 4th precept is just to think more about what we bring into the world this act through this action of speech. So avoiding harmful speech. And it's also useful to note that, as is the case with each of these precepts, what we undertake in this sort of complicated formulation is not just to practice good speech or kind speech, but to avoid causing harm with speech, to avoid harmful speech. There's something about the avoiding that's really important. Among other things, I think when we avoid harmful speech, we speak less and we listen more. It's an interesting aspect of our physiology that apparently when we speak, if we were to speak without protecting our ears internally, the sound of our voices could do damage to this very sensitive hearing apparatus we have. And so there's a mechanism, mechanism might not be the right word, but there's a, when we speak, we close off a bit. The hearing is closed off a bit. And so when we speak, we literally can't listen, or we don't hear as much. And so I keep that in mind, just that when I'm talking, I can't listen. That's true on a lot of levels, but apparently it's true in the physiology as well. So, what is the Buddha? In this case, the case of this precept, the Buddha actually provides, as many of you probably know, very specific instructions about what constitute wise speech, what constitute unwise speech. And I'll just give you a brief flavor of this with a story. In the ancient discourses that come down to us, there are many cases, but there's a case where a prince goes to see the Buddha, asks him a trick question, as happens. I don't know why people continue to do this, because the Buddha was never fooled by trick questions. A master of rhetoric, a master of debate. I wouldn't have bothered to try. But Prince Abhaya asks the Buddha a trick question. Does the Buddha ever say anything that people don't want to hear, that's unpleasant or painful to hear? And the Buddha says, well, that's not a, there's no simple yes or no answer to that, and proceeds to give the prince a teaching. And I'll just give you a flavor of it. I paraphrase. I'm not quoting. That would take more time than we have. But the Buddha says, the Buddha does not utter speech that he knows to be untrue, false, pointless, that is disliked by others. He doesn't utter speech that he knows to be true and correct, but which would be harmful and disliked. And it goes on, gives a very careful screening. But what it, I think, implies for us is that before we speak, if our aspiration is to be awake in the world, that before we speak, we should give thought to these things. The Buddha gives this carefully delineated screen for thinking about how we might speak, and it can be simplified in the following way. Essentially, the Buddha says that if something is not of benefit to others, we shouldn't speak it. If we can determine that something is of benefit, then we should choose the right time to express it. And I love this. I love the more complicated screen, but I love this two-part summary or two-part essence of it. That because I can kind of quickly go, is this a benefit? I mean, I can tell in my own mind frequently, this isn't going to serve anybody, myself, others. It's not going to support a healthy relationship. So I can abstain from that speech that would be harmful. And similarly, if this is speech that this is something to be expressed that is of benefit to myself, to others, to this relationship, then I wait for the right time. Both of these things mean I end up speaking less. And in my particular case, to share something personal, as a loquacious, talkative person, and as a man in our culture and society, somebody who comes forth as a man, it's very useful to speak less. Because I've found over time in the practice, as I've been doing this, that when I speak less, others speak more, and I hear more. I'm aware of other people's thoughts more. I already know what I think. Yeah. So saying it sometimes, isn't useful, isn't a benefit. So the story that I may mention of it ends in a really funny way. There's a lot of humor in these old sources, if you look for it. The Buddha was a funny person, could be. So the prince asks the Buddha, this is amazing, this answer. So do you, as a Buddha, as a fully awakened person, when somebody approaches you with a complicated question, maybe a trick question, do you have to think in advance about your answer? Or does it just occur to you on the spot? The Buddha says to the prince, well, let me ask you a question. You're a prince. You're an expert in chariots. A lot of princes were experts in chariots. It's one of those princely things. You arrived places in a chariot. And I imagine in my mind the Buddha pointing at a part of the chariot. And he says, do you know, as an expert charioteer, do you know what this part's called, this one right here? And the prince says, of course I know. I'm an expert in chariots. I know what that part is. I don't have to think about it in advance. I just know it. It comes to me on the spot. And the Buddha says, it's like that for me. Somebody comes to me, they ask me a complicated question. I don't have to think very much about my response. It just comes to me on the spot. And this is what we talked about earlier this week, beginning the first day. Just that as we become more practiced, as we become more awake in this practice, more awake in the world, there's less and less conscious thinking that goes into a response, and more the response comes naturally to us. It becomes second nature to avoid harmful speech, maybe to be quieter, and to engage in skillful speech. So that's a theme that keeps coming forward this week. I didn't think about that in advance. I'm just noting that this is something that comes to us through the precepts, that we cultivate them by abstaining from harmful practices. And what becomes more and more second nature to us is responding skillfully to situations. So this is this is how abstaining from doing harm helps us be forces for good in the world in this practice. So it's a very powerful training, this, and supportive of our practice, and then supportive of the way we express our practice in the world, particularly in interactions with other beings. So, yeah, over time, as we become really awake, we become, as I've said on the first day, we become unable, right? Like the Buddha. The Buddha is unable to engage in harmful speech because he's a person who's fully awake. That's our aspiration, that as we become more awake, we become more and more just unable to take life, to take things not freely given, to engage in sexual activity that's harmful, or in this case, to engage in harmful speech. So what might this mean for a daily practice? I'm gonna both talk and put something in the chat, and I don't know if I can do these two things at once. But I like a practice. I didn't make it up. I'm going to tell you about it, and then I'm going to push send into the chat. But this is a practice that's called by the acronym WAIT, W-A-I-T, WAIT. And what it means, or what it stands for, W-A-I-T, W-A-I-T, and now I'm pushing to put it into the chat, it stands for Why Am I Talking? W-A-I-T, WAIT. Why am I talking? I find this a super useful way to take this precept into the world, to keep waiting before I respond, and even waiting before I engage in the practice so common that I'm thinking about how I'm going to respond and the other person hasn't even finished talking yet. I'm not listening because I'm already thinking about how I am going to have a better response, get my opinion into the world, speak my truth, any number of things that seem really important to me. And if I can, remember this prescription against unhelpful and harmful speech, I wait. And I like to ask, why am I talking? Or why do I feel an urge to talk, a need to talk, a need to say something? A question that I particularly enjoy in my practice with this is, maybe something needs to be said here, but is it I who need to say it? Right? Sometimes somebody else might say it. Possibly they'd say it better. Possibly they need an opportunity to speak. Maybe I don't have to say this. Very few ideas that I have. Maybe I'm different from others here, but very few ideas are original. And I don't always have to be the person who expresses something. At any rate, maybe that's something that will be useful to take into the day. Wait. Without going through the complicated screen that the Buddha provides for wise speech, some of which may be familiar to some of you, simply pausing before we speak, and maybe if it's helpful, think, is this of benefit, what I want to say? And if it is of benefit, is this the time to say it? Is this the best time, the most appropriate time, the most skillful time? I think what the Buddha does with these suggestions is ask us to slow down with this action, right, that seems so automatic, so easily engaged in, to slow down. And you may also look around and think about, I'm distracted by something in the chat, may want to look around and think about, okay, I lost that thought, I got distracted. Somebody has pointed out that silent is an anagram for listen. Okay, there's probably hundreds of these tricks. I love them, they're great. So that's another one, listen. Listen. I think that's another place that wait goes, and I appreciate the distracting chat. Very nice. Very, very nice to have added that to our to our conversation. Okay, so think about these things. Tomorrow we'll return and take up the last of the five precepts, the last five of the five lay precepts that are undertaken commonly by householders and lay practitioners in this practice, that of avoiding, what did I call it, intoxicated heedlessness. This is a prescription to avoid using, technically in the language that it comes to us, fermented drinks, distilled drinks, or other substances that cause heedlessness or to the point of heedlessness. We'll look into that tomorrow, and I look forward to that. It's a perfect topic for Friday night. It's a perfect topic for a Friday, but it'll bring the week to a nice close. I wish you all well. Take care till tomorrow. And I'm going to sign off now and read through the various things that have been shared in the chat. Very much appreciate your sharing and supporting one another's practice. And see you tomorrow. Bye.